Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. If you would turn with me in your Bibles, please, to Revelation chapter 21. And starting in verse 1, the Word of God says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away.' And he that sat upon the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And he said unto me, 'Write, for these words are true and faithful.' And he said unto me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that cometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son.'" What John saw was the bride of Christ, the bride of the Lamb. Earlier, John is told by the angel, "Come and I will show you the bride." And he shows him the New Jerusalem. And the New Jerusalem is a city on a great hill. Now, if you think of this, it's quite mind-boggling. This is a huge city, yes, but it's a huge hill. The New Jerusalem is 1,500 miles tall, high. So this is a 1,500 mile high hill. This is a big hill. Right? I mean, we don't think of things in these terms, but recognize something that it's really about eternity, and it's really about reality. It's about not just this dinky little planet. It's not just about what happens here. It's about the New Jerusalem. It's about the kingdom of God. In 2 Corinthians 5:10, turn there please for a moment. The Word of God says that, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that which he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Now, these are what our lives are about. You see, our lives are eternal. I have a question for you. How in tune are you with the fact that you're not a part of time, but a part of eternity? How in tune are you with the fact that you are not a part of the temporal, but a part of the eternal? How in tune are you with the fact that there is a kingdom here, but there is another kingdom also? You are of the kingdom of God. You are not of the kingdom of this earth. Do you realize that you are the citizens of a new land? A land that is not here, and it's not a land that is surrounded by lakes or trees. It is the place that God had gone to prepare a place for you. Notice that in Revelation it says about the New Jerusalem, right after there is a revelation, it says it is done. After the heaven and earth pass away, it is done. And this is where it began. Because the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world, and the last thing He said is, "It is done. It is finished." And here again, "It is done." How in tune are you with this? That it is simply a ring, and so you're coming full circle from the beginning to the end. And it was really nothing more than a stage for God to manifest who He is. Do you live in this awareness, in this consciousness? What are you conscious of? Are you conscious of the temporal or the eternal? And you may say to yourself, well, I live on the earth. How can I not be conscious of the temporal? Oh, you have a very short field of vision if you think that way. You see, we are here not for the temporal. We are here for the eternal. The temporal is nothing more than that which was created in eternity to give a platform for God to manifest His character. Yes, it's all about God. It's not about me. And I may be a person who doesn't like this, that it's all about God and not about me. But get over it. It's all about God. God created us for His good pleasure. So what is it that you are living in the consciousness of? I think it's too easy for us, all of us, me included, to live in the consciousness of what is in my perception here on earth. To live in the consciousness of what I want, and not in the consciousness of who He is. To live in a consciousness of that, the circumstances and the earth, the things around me, my day-to-day details, but not in consciousness of where my life is actually being played out. Don't you recognize that your life is not here on earth? Don't you recognize that in Ephesians 2:6 you've been seated above in heavenly places in Christ? And that's where your life is? That you are really more than a conqueror. You see, nothing in this world can even touch the believer. Because the believer really is more than a conqueror. And those things which appear to touch us that are of this world are simply the details that God has allowed to come my way to manifest His character to me. If there is a challenge that comes my way, then God has sent that challenge. Don't you ever think that anything comes the believer's way that God doesn't send. Everything, all the details, God had sent your way. And they are sent to you so that He can manifest His character toward you. If a person is ill, they have that illness because God wants to show Himself merciful and kind in that illness. If a person is persecuted, God has sent that persecution so that His character and His glory can be revealed inside of a believer. If a person is praying and they have to wait, then that waiting is there for the purpose of God revealing His faithfulness and building a capacity for the character of God in that person. Folks, don't be conscious of the temporal more than the eternal. Your life is not here. Only your feet are. When you go home to be with the Lord, you're going home. Do you get that? You are going home. You are not going to a different place. You are going to a place where you belong. A place that has been prepared for you by the Savior, by God Himself, because you belong there. But folks, you don't belong there in the future, you belong there now. Your place is there now. There is no difference between here and eternity. It is simply what stage you're standing on. Right now, we are standing on a stage created for God to perform His faithfulness, His majesty, His mercy, His loving kindness in its fullest degree so that it can be manifested for all of eternity. But don't you make any mistake about it. It is about eternity. The things that happen now are about eternity. How you respond now is all about eternity. You're going home. You're going home. You will not stay here. You're going home. Is your place with the kingdom? So often we Christians get hung up on what my wife, I think, so appropriately calls sandbox issues. Don't get hung up on the sandbox issues. Don't get hung up on the petty and the small. Don't get hung up on the trivial and the insignificant. Oh, they may seem large to you because you are still large if it is the case. You are still increased if it is the case. But didn't John say, I must decrease? Why? Why must I decrease? So that he would increase. If I'm hung up in sandbox issues, I'm not even engaged in the kingdom. Oh, I belong to the kingdom, but I'm not engaged in it. No more than a 3-year-old child is engaged in the events of the world. Your life is an eternity. When the Word of God says that you're seated above, it's because you are. This is where things are played out. Live in eternity. Live with an eternal perspective. How often do we get so caught up, this is what I want, or this is what makes me feel good, or this is that and this is the other. Young people, I want this guy, I want this girl. Oh, she's cute. Oh, he's cute. Ooh. Skin? Really? Skin? Is that what it's about? Something that is about a quarter of an inch thick? Skin? We go on this superficial plateau and we lose the kingdom. What if so cute turns out to be so ugly? As happens so much of the time. You will wish that kingdom was present then, won't you? But skin? This is the world's thinking. Money? Really? Money? Is that what it's about? Money? Gotta have the money? Can't trust God for the provision? Gotta have the money? Can't trust God's promises that when He says, I will not suffer my children begging for bread? Hey, how many, don't raise your hand, how many people tithe? If you don't tithe, there's a problem in your life. You have an idol. Your money is your God. Oh, I will tithe of my time. Yeah, thanks a lot. That'll pay the bills. Money? Really? You're going to leave your call for money? Really? How many Christians do that? They will take a place to where they are called and they will say, no money, can't do it. Can't stay here. Over there's more money. Or they won't go into a call. No money, can't go there. Can't afford it. Don't you get it that God supplies all your needs? God supplies all your needs? Hey, do you get this? God fights your battles. Do you know that He is present and He is here right now? Read the Chronicles. The Chronicles are amazing. Read the Chronicles if you want to see how God comes through. Every time somebody humbles themselves and turns to God, He comes through. But anytime they say in their heart, I'm not going to turn to God, He won't come through for me, He will not, something is greater than I am, right? Isn't that what the Assyrian king said to Hezekiah's people, right? Hey, don't listen to Hezekiah, he's lying to you. All the gods of this world have never come through for their people, and I've taken all of them. And how much less will your God come through? How much less is your God than your circumstance? How much less is your God than your desire? How much less is your God than your need? Isn't that what the world, isn't that what the enemy says? How much less is your God then? And Hezekiah said, he just said, God, you take care of it. You fight. And God says, I fight these battles, Joshua. I fight these battles. These are not yours. These are mine. And the Hezekiah says to the people, He that is with us is more than he that is with them. For with them is the arm of the flesh, but with us is the Lord our God. In 2 Chronicles 32. Hey, get this. God is with you and the flesh is with the enemy. What can you possibly be afraid of? I mean, wake up. What can you possibly be afraid of that you should have a testimony of defeat rather than a confession of victory? In Revelation 12:10, they overcame Him by the word of their testimony. Why? Because they confessed that God is able. Never in any circumstance try to even remotely in your mind confess that your circumstance is greater than God. What happened to that Assyrian king? Not only did Israel not have to fight, they just say, hey guys, show up over here. I'll show you what I'm going to do with them. You know what happened there. The Assyrian king goes home and his sons kill him. So much for how much less will your God deliver you out of my hand. What are you thinking if you confess negativity regarding the ability of God? Is your God so puny? No, I don't think so. You are just so big, and your circumstance is so big, and your sight is so profound and in depth and so absolutely perceptive of the future that doesn't even exist yet. Where God had already written it and He knows the end from the beginning. Don't let your sight for a moment get in the way of your perception of God. Don't let your experiences for a moment get in the way of your perception of God. What do you know of your experiences? You don't even know your own heart, and neither do I. People say, well, this is impossible because sight is like this. To hell with your sight! Sight is meaningless. It is irrelevant. If God gives a call, if God gives a promise, if there is a prayer, then between now and then are events that God does. And God's faithfulness comes through. And God causes you to be an overcomer. And God causes you to be victorious if you turn to God. But if you trust your circumstance more than you trust God, then God says, fine, have the circumstance be your God. If you want to lean on the flesh, if you think that God is so incapable and small, fine, let that be your God. Where are you living? Are you really living in the dirt? This planet is just dirt. Is that really where you are living? If the Holy Spirit is present inside of you? This is what it means, the soul cleaves to the dust. You go up against a circumstance and you confess the faithfulness of God. Why? Because God is faithful. You don't lie against the Word of God. Because you will be proven to be a liar. You don't lie against the Word of God. The Word of God gives a promise, and every promise of God is yea and amen, and you trust those promises that God gave. And you don't say to yourself, well, I know it's in the Bible, but this is what it's really like in the real world. To hell with that! Why? Because that's where it came from. You trust God for the impossible situations that are only impossible to a dust ball, but not to the King of Kings. To the King of Kings, it is a trivial matter. Not a matter that He will overlook, but it's a small thing. It's nothing. It's like going from there to there, there. I put it down. That's the end of it. That is your impossibility. Your impossibility is taking this cup from here to here. Man, that was hard. You don't think that way toward God for a nanosecond. Why? Because you're lying. You are lying. Parents, or you guys that will eventually be parents, teach your children in truth. Represent God honestly before Him. Teach your children about the faithfulness of God. Don't teach your children about the grandeur of the circumstance and the power of the flesh. But teach your children about the ability and the faithfulness and the loyalty and the kindness and the mercy and the gentleness of God. Well, this is what happened to me once. Really? And what was the result? Well, it was hard. The trial of your faith was hard. And this is a surprise to you. When the surgeon cuts, it's hard. That's why they give anesthesia. You know what anesthesia is for the spiritual man? Faith. Faith. You get that? Faith. You know, let's just put everything down on the table here. Do you believe the Word of God? Be honest with yourself. Do you believe the Word of God? Do you believe that nothing is impossible to Him, that all things are possible with Christ? Do you believe that faithful is He who has called you who will also do it? Do you believe that every promise of God is yea and amen? Do you believe that God fights your battles? Do you believe it's His Word? So many believers out there have this pessimistic mentality when something challenges them, no matter big or small. Oh, it's not going to work out. I'm going to fail. Things are going to go bad. What is in your head? God says, you are more than a conqueror. God says He makes you victorious. Oh, but I've got these weaknesses and I've got these insufficiencies. God says He causes you to stand. God makes you an overcomer. God says He won't leave you or forsake you. Oh, but not in the... Yes, everybody else, but not me. Oh, you are so mighty. Habakkuk 2:3 says that the soul lifted up in itself is not right. But the just live by faith. Not by religious mentalities, but by faith. Not by striving, but by faith, resting in the promises of God. Do you know what faith even is? I think to many Christians, faith is a wishful thought instead of a concrete reality. What are you living in? Most of the times, people like this wind up living in their emotions and their subjective interpretations of their perception of the outward realities that are not real at all. If it can pass away, it's not real. It's artificial. It's created. It's not eternal. Don't you know that God can change your life on a dime? Don't you know that God can change your circumstances on a dime? Don't you know that God can change a heart on a dime? Don't you know that one day something is like this and the next day is like that? What happened when Israel was surrounded and they were starving? Remember that? They were starving. And the prophet said, tomorrow it's all going to be cheap. Tomorrow there will be an abundance. Tomorrow the problem will not even be here. And they were starving within the walls of the city. And then tomorrow came and somebody ventured out. See, maybe we can like grab something out there and say... And there was nobody out there surrounding the city. Except all the spoils of what they had were still there. All the food and all the gold and all the raiment, and it was all still there. But all the soldiers were gone. And they had plenty that next day. Get this. God makes all things beautiful in their time. What is it that you are dealing with? God makes all things beautiful in their time. What is it that has you so intimidated? Greater is He with you than is with them. It's simple. I'm serious. Read the Chronicles. Greater is He that is with you than he that is with them. Every time you turn to God, His response is one of faithfulness. Why? Because you belong to a kingdom. You don't belong to the earth. You don't belong to the world system. You don't belong to the enemy. You don't belong defeated. You're already victorious. How in the world are you going to be defeated? But Christians look at sight. Situation's bad. Really? How bad is it? Oh, it's terrible. All these things are happening. And this is insurmountable. And this is what I expect. And it's going to go wrong. I just know it. It's going to go wrong. God won't come through. Who's your God? Dagon? Is that your God? Is it the God of the Philistines? Is it Asherah? Who's your God? Oh, it's the Lord God? Really? And this is your confession? It's the Lord God and this is your confession? Don't offend God with temporal and time considerations. He created this. That circumstance that's involving people that's coming against you, don't you know that He holds their atoms together? And He sent the circumstance? Why? Because the trial of your faith is more precious than gold? Why do you think Paul said, I rejoice in my tribulations? Because there is a reward for faithfulness. Because there are crowns in heaven. Because there is glory and there is gold, silver and precious stones. And there is reigning. You see, these sandbox issues, they take people straight out of the kingdom and they're stuck in a sandbox. This is what's going on in my life and I'm really going through it. Really? Why? Well, let me consider. You're more than a conqueror, right? Isn't that what the Word of God says? You're more than able. God is faithful to you. Isn't that what the Word of God says? Right? The promises are yea and amen. Isn't this what the Word of God says? You're seated above in heavenly places. Isn't this what the Word of God says? God Almighty, the Creator of the universe, the Giver of life, is resident in you, and you're going through it. I see. Maybe you need to adjust your thinking. To think with reality. When God says He fights your battle, what battle are you afraid of? When God says He provides all you need, what need do you think you want to have a provision for? When God says the just shall live by faith, why do you try to live by sight? You see, here's the thing. There is an eternity. And eternity is now. Why is it that people think that eternity is only future? Eternity is the eternal is. It's eternity past, eternity present, and eternity future. And you, my friends, are living in eternity. Whether you realize it or not, whether you even want to look at it or not, who cares? Close your eyes and you're still in this room. Why have this ostrich mentality for the sandbox issues that prevent a person from experiencing the fullness of a victory that is a life in Christ? Why have these issues? Hey folks, reality exists. It's about God. And God is free. It's always been about God. This is why you were created, because it's about God. And you know what? Good thing for us that it is about God. Imagine if it really were about us. Imagine if we really were the center of the universe, like we think we are sometimes. Wouldn't that be a pathetic situation? One day I'm on, one day I'm off. Right? One day I'm thinking right, and like 2 seconds later I'm thinking wrong, and then 2 seconds later I'm kind of in between, and 2 seconds later I'm in a good mood, and then 2 seconds later I'm in a bad mood. But God doesn't change. And His Word endures forever. And it is good, just as good for you as it is for anybody else. Don't be so big. Being small is a place of freedom. Because then you can just crawl on your daddy's lap and rest there. Then your circumstances are God's problem, not yours. This is one of the reasons why people think get intimidated by God, because they think circumstances are their problem. As of when? Show me this one in the Bible. This battle, all yours. Right? Knock yourself out. Grab a sword. You better learn how to use it well. This battle is all yours. I'm having nothing to do with this. You're on your own. Can you imagine guys saying, the one who plays the game best wins? Can you imagine? If you're strong, then you're going to win. Forget it if you're not strong. You're toast. But this is how we think sometimes. Get out of the sandbox. You're seated above in heavenly places. Get out of the sandbox. Those little sandbox issues that are brought on by my sight, take me out of the experience of God's kingdom and the fullness of His will. Never go there. Never go there. You know why? Because you want to experience the kingdom. The kingdom is here and now, folks. The kingdom is not future. God is here and now. He is not future. Heaven is here and now. It is not just future. You may not live in the New Jerusalem today, but you are still seated in heavenly places. And only your feet are here. Do you believe this? Make up your minds. If you don't believe it, ask God to make it a practical reality to you. But why do you think it's so strange when the fiery trial comes your way? Christ didn't avoid the fiery trial. He learned obedience by the things that He suffered. What happens to believers in the sandbox is they will either say to themselves, not for me, everybody else, yes, but God won't do it for me. Oh, please. Or they'll start playing these games. As they step out of faith, they need to appease that with a game. And it's often a religious game. And they'll start pretending. But there's no pretense in the kingdom of God. But in order to maintain elevation of self, I have to pretend. I cannot stay in the sandbox without pretending. And I pretend toward whatever I desire. But it's not the kingdom. I pretend that God won't come through. I pretend that something, whatever I want, that it's that meaningful. I pretend that the money will be that satisfying. I pretend that the relationship is that purposeful. I pretend that whatever. But if it wasn't sent by God, what is the point of even going there? Like, how many people will be tantalized by things that are not of God because they are playing a game with their flesh, never realizing for a moment that it was demonically energized to be a lure to their flesh? I got news for you. Pastor Stevens used to say this. He was right. That which people are willing to entertain in their mind, they will eventually entertain in their actions. Don't think there is a separation. But what you entertain in your mind, you will entertain in your actions. So have the mind of Christ. Because that is the right mind for the believer. Apart from living in the mind of Christ, I live in double-mindedness. That's why I'm unstable. But the natural mind is no match for the mind of Christ. The natural mind cannot satisfy me like the mind of Christ can. Natural will cannot satisfy like the will of God can. Natural desires cannot satisfy like the call of God can. Natural provisions cannot satisfy like that which God gives can. You might end up with a lot of cash, but not much in the soul. Have the mind of Christ because you belong to a kingdom. But people play these games. And they flirt with sin. And they flirt with the world. And they flirt with that which is ungodly that God did not send. Why? Why would a person do that? I'll tell you why. Lust. That's why. That which takes a person out of the will of God. That's why. I'll tell you right now, the greatest satisfaction there is the will of God. And the satisfaction of the flesh is really nothing more than bondage waiting to happen. That's it right there. You may not want to believe it, and I'm really talking more to the people on the internet when I say this. You may not want to believe it, but if you go down that path, you will find out that it's true. One believer after another has found out that it's true. When God doesn't make us ashamed or disappointed, yet one believer after another finds out that that thing that they pursued outside of the will of God was not their fulfillment or their satisfaction or whatever it is that they were looking for, it was bondage. People become in bondage to their circumstances. People go into bondage to other people. People go into bondage to jobs. People go into bondage to all kinds of things. But it was still just bondage. Don't pursue anything other than what God has given. Do you understand? Don't pursue anything other than what God has given. Including the difficult things that come into your life. What do I mean by that? How do I pursue a difficult thing? I make it very big. That's why. And I'll be perfectly frank with you. Do you know why most people make their things very big? Sometimes it's a question of capacity. But people who really have been taught, people who really have received the Word of God, sometimes they'll make things really big. Do you know why? Because it allows the flesh to survive. That's why. It allows self to still remain as the issue. That's why. The trials of your life are not pleasant to the flesh or to the emotions. But why did Paul rejoice in them? Because Paul saw something that the natural man doesn't see. Saul recognized that the trials he faced were not eternal. They were just temporal. And he was living in eternity. That's the thing. And he knew that God would be faithful to him. And he knew that even though everything was falling down or blowing up around him, he wouldn't be touched. Just like the Hebrew boys, they go in the furnace and the flames are all around, but they didn't get touched. Daniel goes in the lion's den and lays down. Why? Because he knew he was in eternity. I mean, really, think about it. What did it matter to Daniel if he was eaten by a lion? He was already in eternity. It's only appointed unto man once to die. And so he died with Christ. That's the death. What did Jesus say? Don't be afraid, right? He said, don't be afraid of those that can kill the body. Be afraid of the one who can destroy the soul. Why? Eternal perspective. Have an eternal perspective in your details. Folks, young people, you're thinking about your futures. I'll tell you right now, your future will be found in the perfect will of God. Okay? Your future will be found in the perfect will of God. So don't step out of that. Don't pursue things, and young people, I'll be playing with you, don't pursue things because of hormones. Just because you're 21, 2, 3, 4, 5 doesn't mean your hormones aren't still raging. They are. They don't quit until you're in your... They don't ease up until you're in your late 20s. And then they still don't quit. Don't pursue things because of your hormones. What kind of foundation is that? What does that do to the heart and the soul and the mind? What kind of lines of thinking are you establishing? Do you realize you are establishing them? Why does it say, guard your heart with all diligence? Because out of them come the issues of life. Out of the heart comes the issues of life. So what you're thinking, what you're entertaining, what you are tantalized by, what's appealing to you, guard your heart. Because those things will impact your life profoundly. It doesn't matter if they seem trivial. Seeds are small. Right? Big trees come out of small seeds. It doesn't matter if it seems trivial. Guard your heart. Take up your place in the kingdom. You are in a battle, and your place is in the kingdom. Take that place. Know that if you seek first God's kingdom, all things will be added unto you. So don't worry about all things. Worry about kingdom. And even as I say it right now, I know there's people listening out there who say, well, I don't like that. I want this, or I want that, or I want... Okay, stay in the sandbox, enjoy your Bema seat. Well, I'd rather sacrifice a little bit at the bean. I've actually heard a person say this one time. I'd rather sacrifice some rewards at the Bema seat for this temporary thing. You know what God calls somebody like that? A fool. Small things make big differences in God's kingdom. Keep your focus. Don't allow things in that tempt you away from the mind of Christ. Don't accept anything God doesn't send. I'm not saying be unkind. I'm just saying don't accept it. Don't internalize. Over the years you hear a lot of strange things, and you see a lot of interesting results. But guard your heart with all diligence, because you belong to a kingdom. Do you get it? I'm asking you, do you get it? Do you get this? You belong to a kingdom. There is a plan that was established in eternity that glorifies the kingdom, that is extraordinarily beneficial to you in every aspect and detail of your life. Do you get that? The amazing thing is that people still resist. Why? Hardness of heart. So I either humble myself or God humbles me. But I will guarantee you this. If you don't humble yourself, God will humble you. Why? Because you are part of a kingdom, like it or not. It's not a like it or lump it. Lump it doesn't exist. It's more humble or proud. So stay humble toward the kingdom. Interesting thing happened to Hezekiah. After the victory with the Assyrians, Hezekiah got proud because he received a mighty answer to prayer. And that made him proud. And from that day, he was never quite right with God again. The kingdom is manifested in humility, not in an elevation of self, but in humility. So take your place in the kingdom. Take your place seated above. How do I do that? I think the right thoughts. I have the right confession. I focus on the right things. I take in truth from God's Word. I believe Him. You can't enter into the kingdom of God in a practical experience without believing Him. So I believe Him. And you take your place in the kingdom, and the kingdom becomes your reality. Why do you think the kings and the different ones, when they were right with God, or the prophets, or people today, why do you think that when they turn to God and pray, He answers? Why do you think that those who've really laid down their life and surrendered to the Savior are the ones who see remarkable things happen? And then on the other hand, the ones who don't, who try to stand up in their own will, see nothing happen. This is true today just as much as it was in the Old Testament. God hasn't changed. Get rid of the sandbox issues and take your place in the kingdom. Remember, they overcame Him. Right? Revelation 12:10. They overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they loved not their own lives until the end. How many people say, okay, I'll make the confession, okay, I'm glad for the blood, but I love my own life? I got news for you. You won't overcome. That thing that you thought you loved, that was your life, was not. How do I know? Because our lives are hid with Christ in God. And so that self-preservation actually resulted in self-defeat. Take your place in the kingdom. Just shake off the old man and put on the new man. Take your place in the kingdom. Amen?